Chapter 90, Joy Division. Some passengers made gut-wrenching calls to loved ones or got updates via their phones, but most were staring off in a daze as the minibus weaved in and out of the abandoned cars and zombies that filled the streets. Joy kept an eye on Roger. She was shocked at how easy everyone had been on him. There was no retaliation or Lord of the Flies-like justice. They had just accepted it as normal and moved on. Downtown L.A. was not somewhere Joy had been that often. She lived in Century City, and like most locals, she preferred to go west with her minimal free time to places with trees and beaches like Santa Monica or Brentwood, rather than the concrete jungle that resided to the east. If she absolutely had to go east, she wouldn't stray much farther than West Hollywood, so her knowledge of downtown L.A. was restricted to where the Lakers played and the Standard Hotel, where she had attended a rooftop party once. After a minute of hoping that some familiar landmark or freeway sign would come into view, she realized she really didn't know much about the city, and it was going to be too late to remedy it. Joy dove into her purse and pulled out her phone. She saw three missed calls on her notification screen, one from the helicopter pilot and two from Max. She looked at his name, weighing up her options before she begrudgingly hit the call button.
"Joy! Joy!" Max said swiftly. "Are you there? Are you okay?"
Joy let him sweat as she listened to him fire questions at her.
"Joy, please answer me," Max said sincerely. "Just let me know you're okay."
"What do you want, Max?" Joy said quietly into the phone.
"You're okay, thank God," Max said in relief. "I saw that the station had been evacuated and I got worried about you."
"Is that what you wanted, Max?" Joy said firmly. "Have you proven your point yet?"
"Joy, come on. You know I would never intentionally harm you," Max said meekly. "Please come to my house. I have a helicopter coming here right now to pick us up. Let's let bygones be bygones."
Joy shook her head and her eyes filled with tears. There wasn't going to be a clean end to this conversation. She was not going to forgive him. She was not going to make him feel better, and she was also not going to let him know how she truly felt about him. Joy was about to hang up when she noticed Roger starting to make his way down the aisle towards the back of the bus.
"You okay, Denise?" he said softly. "I didn't mean to, I promise."
"Don't go back there, Roger," Derek said as he grabbed Roger by the shoulder and pulled him back. Roger shrugged off and pushed Derek away.
"Fuck off, Derek," Roger said, pointing his bloody fingers at him menacingly. "This has nothing to do with you."
The passengers watched in silence as Roger continued to walk towards the back of the minibus.
"Joy, can you hear me?" Max asked.
Joy ignored Max but kept the phone to her ear as she kept a raptor-like gaze on Roger.
"Hey, she's okay, right?" Roger asked the guy who had taken up residence in between Denise and Joy. The guy was wearing blue overalls and looked like a cable repair guy. Joy vaguely remembered him on the television set as the guy who had given her the lapel mic for her interview.
"Roger, just go and sit down," Cable Guy said, putting his arm out to stop him.
"Don't you think you've done enough already?"
Roger didn't even miss a step. He swung his bloody right fist and connected perfectly with Cable Guy's jaw, sending him on top of Joy and knocking the phone from her hand onto the floor out of reach. Cable Guy was unconscious and was almost crushing Joy with his weight, but she could see Roger prodding Denise and didn't want to get his attention, so she decided to put up with it, as he was at least providing a barrier between her and Roger. A deep and guttural groan came from Denise, which made Roger grab her shoulders excitedly.
"See, she's okay," Roger said as he beamed ear to ear. "I told you there was nothing to worry about."
Roger pulled her towards him, so what was left of her bloody face was facing him.
"She's a zombie. Nah, she's just got a severe brain injury, that's all."
"Denise, say something," Roger said as he shook her.
Denise's head nodded back and forth, and her mouth flopped open, unleashing a torrent of blood and teeth onto the front of her blouse. Roger, the true gentleman that he was, turned away like it was the worst thing he had ever seen and pushed her limp body back into the corner away from him. It was now time for Joy's eyes to grow big, time for her mouth to open slackly like a kid seeing fireworks for the first time. No one else had noticed. They were all too busy thinking about their lives and what was left of them. They all heard the sound before they could do anything.
It wasn't the minibus. That was moving along nicely, circling around a tour bus that had been left idle in the middle of an intersection. Joy could see his eyes. They weren't paying attention. The tour bus had also distracted him. Everything was happening fast, but to Joy it was all in slow motion. She could see he was out of his element. Everybody who was in Los Angeles at that moment in time was out of their element. His tie was loose at his throat, his white button-down shirt was dirty with splatters of blood, and for some unknown reason he was driving a garbage truck. The truck connected with the back corner of the minibus, right where Roger and Denise were, and Joy watched in horror as the minibus began to tear in half before everything went black. Then love will tear us apart again.